I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Watch while I tell you of an ancient war. On the side of evil, Hellespont, ruler of the Daemonites. Against them, the Wildcats, the Cherubim Spark, and their cybernetic leader, Massive Crossbreed Maul. Metamorphing Warblade. Master Marksman Grifter. Fierce Warrior Zealot. Will they succeed and defeat Hellespont? We're out of here.
And only Wildcats.
Wildcats from Playmates.
Oh,
man, if you don't know everything about Wildcats, you just got thrown
off. Yes.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Play Retro. This is Play Retro for Friday, November 10th, 2023. And I'm one of your hosts, Scott Johnson, and my cape is alive. Just look at it. It goes on for miles and miles, and no one ever asks questions about its magical ways, unless you're in the 90s video game and it looks like poop. Poop cape!
Poop cape. You should definitely pick that up when you're going to poop. I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway. And when I'm not at the comic book shop, filling up my long boxes with the indie comics, you know, I'd say pull box, do it, pull it. I'm at home playing video games on my Dreamcast because it's the late 90s, baby. Oh, hi, Demon Spawn. Say, I do believe your cape is in need of some repair, and I'm dead.
Spawn. Yeah, we'll get more into that later. We may play this a few times.
Spawn.
Because it's so dumb.
It's so good.
It's so dumb and good.
It is so delicious.
It's pretty great. Before we get to that topic, though, we're going to talk about what we did this week. I did not spend any time doing any kind of retro anything, but here's what I did. Well, unless you count resubbing to World of Warcraft and playing it, because that's an old-ass game now. It's pretty retro
now. Yeah.
Like 2004, we've covered stuff from 04 before, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, World of Warcraft, my God, is a million years old now. And we've done the Warcraft series, Warcraft, but not the World of. But yeah, it's right there at the precipice.
It is. So I guess I did play something kind of retro. I poked my head into Classic, but I mostly played Retail, which is less retro.
When you poked your head in there, did you see any Tauren hunters down in the Wailing Caverns?
No, I didn't get in there. I assume your carcass is still in there just smoldering and molting and smelling, you know.
I remember that was the first time I quit WoW. We've never talked about it here on the show, on this one in particular. But yeah, I quit WoW because of that particular, the Wailing Caverns. I was so sick of my big giant Tauren hunter who would run through the caves of the Wailing Caverns. And yep. I couldn't see squat. Yep. And I would just constantly fall. I would try to get up to the top to get out. And I would always fall down in a hole. Mm-hmm. And then I would be dead. Mm-hmm. Oh, so much anger.
That's how you lived back then. Yeah, spawn. You know, you had to you're trying to get your body to respawn.
Yeah, respawn.
Anyway, WoW was still great. Having a great time. Got inspired by the BlizzCon stage stuff. Metzen sold me again, as he usually does. So I got in there and played.
Still good.
But I have an announcement to make that I'll use my time for instead. Listen to this guy talk. He is also an ex-World of Warcraft guy, also worked at Riot for a long time, and Ensemble Studios was a huge hand and head of the development at the time of Age of Empires 2, one of our favorite games.
Yeah, we've talked about that one.
Greg Street. So let's hear what he has to say.
We are going to do a podcast that we're partnering with our good friend Scott Johnson.
Oh,
who's that? I know that guy.
That's Greg Ghostcrawler Street. He used to work at Blizzard. He was a big deal over there. And then he went to Riot and worked on League and then the League of Legends based MMO. And then he left and started his own independent studio, which is called Fantastic Pixel Castle. Yeah.
Wait,
you heard me.
I haven't, Oh, yeah, I know. I haven't kept up with this, so I did see a blurb, but it's called Fantastic
Pixel Castle, which you might like because there's pixels.
We talked about pickles pre-show, and I'm having trouble not putting pickle in there.
Fantastic Pickle Castle is an awesome name. I'm going to have to talk him into changing it.
Right. I got a new name change for it.
We're going to do a monthly show with them for their team, which is, I think, 25 or 30 people strong at this point. They got a lot of backing. This is a AAA MMO they're building, and they want to have it they want to work on it with the audience. Now you might say, "Oh, whatever, no one ever." They're just patronizing us. No, legitimately, like this is the way he rolls. He used to roll this way at Blizzard. He'd get in trouble for it over there because PR didn't like this, but he likes to say it how it is, and he likes to go, "Hey, that thing we did, we effed up, so we did this," or "Hey, that thing you don't like, we're doing it this way, and here are our reasons why we're doing it. And if you give us enough feedback, we may change our," he's always been that way, but now he gets to be that way with his own studio from the ground up. And starting this Tuesday on a monthly basis, we're doing a show and we're going to talk about it. We're going to interview devs, interview Greg, interview people who are artists and programmers and back-end people and designers and all this stuff so that people can get a front row seat on the making of a AAA MMO.
Dude, this is so spot on for this week because you're looking at the modern version of what Image Comics was, which we're talking about this week, and the comics that inspired these video games we're talking about. And this is the same thing. It's like, okay, finally I get to spread my wings a little bit and be a little indie and do something that may look a little weird at first, but you know, give it 20 years and take a look back and see if it's still weird. Probably Spawn.
Exactly. What'd you do this week? I think you had some fun in Retroland, right?
I did. And I was thinking about, okay, so me and you both, I don't think Dan didn't like have us sign anything, right?
He did not. I think we can talk about it. I forgot to bring mine down.
I think we can talk about it. Now that I'm holding it and thinking right about it, I'm like, we didn't sign no DNA.
DNA. No, we didn't sign any DNA. We didn't give any DNA.
An NDA, a non-disclosure agreement or anything like that.
Yeah, so maybe we're not supposed to talk about it. I don't know. Are we?
I think we're supposed. Anyway, look, I'll tell you this. Dan, how about this? I'll find out from Dan next time, but I can tell you this much at least. Dan from Mega Cat Studios. This is not a secret. As a matter of fact, I think this is all on the internet too, so we probably can talk about it.
Yeah, I think it's just on their page.
This is the important part. We'll tell you more about it in the upcoming weeks. But Dan sent us from Mega Cat Studios, sent us a demo version of a real NES cart. And I'll show you the back of it.
It's black.
I'll show you the back of it. It's black.
Dude.
It's black. And it's got the little warning and stuff and everything.
Look at this.
This is a modern game programmed for an original NES that you can plug into your NES and play. How freaking sweet is that? It's 2023. Here I am about to shove one of these things in my NES and get a chance to take a look at it. And I'll give you more details when I figure out what kind of details I can give you. But this is such a cool idea. I've seen the, you know, Atari Age has been doing this for a long time. They've been, you know, making Atari games. There's plenty of modern carts you can pick up for indie developers that are going to these old machines. If you've never explored any of it, it's pretty freaking amazing.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that is really cool. And I talked to Brian on Discord almost immediately about it. But black cartridge, way cool. Black
way
CDs.
Cool,
do you remember Sony CDs? You flip them around and they had a black surface there. I'm just saying, if you want to be cool again.
They were just CDs on those PlayStations, but they were a little bit thicker. And the fact that it was black on that one side instead of being lame silver that everything was.
Yeah.
It was black. And it almost looked like you just wanted to rub it on your face. It just looks so smooth.
And I put it in my car and I play Wipeout XL in my car, except for the first track.
Oh, that's right. We've talked about that before too. You can play some of those music stuff. Well, I think the only PlayStation game we hit this week was Danger Girl, which I kind of want to get. A lot of these games that we're talking about this week, I guess since they didn't sell like Blockbuster, they're hard to find and they're kind of expensive.
They're rare. Which is kind of a bummer. Rare. That one, the Danger Girl one is pretty rough, but rare. So rare is fun, right? You want to get some rare games. And I don't mean rare, the company who made the games. I mean rare, like hard to get. And so get your Spawn on. Oh, wait, do that again while I push this button. Ready, go.
Spawn.
Oh, people listening at home, John.
It's okay. It's cool.
Brian.
John, you've been talking to, you talked to John and Bo last night on the Core show.
I did. I was on Core last night. But John, Bo, Brian just held up a 3D printed Spawn. Spawn logo. Did you print that?
In Scott's defense, Core's like 6 hours long. How can you get out of that?
Well, we did three and a half hours last night, better than the usual four. I think I have a trick to get it shorter. It's not that we don't, I mean, people like it long. That sounds terrible. Let's move on.
It's almost as bad as the pickle in the fridge.
Yeah, none of this is working out. It's exciting stuff.
The 90s, everything is, we're just channeling what we're about to talk about, which is Image Indie Comics. All those Image Indie Comics, one of their main focuses was jumping off at the page at you. It was anatomy to the extreme, violence to the extreme, anything that would get your eyeballs to Image Comics.
Yeah.
They published some great indie titles.
Yeah. I bought everything then. All those comics I bought.
I was big into Top Cow. Top Cow was my jam. Fathom,
yeah,
all that kind of stuff. That was
Turner, rest in peace. His work was so good. Yeah. Died way too young.
Too young.
But his work on not The Witcher. What was that called? The girl that was
The Witcher. No. That was a little TV. They did a TV show.
It wasn't
too,
The Witcher though. Witchblade.
Oh, that's not a Witchblade. Oh, yeah, Witchblade. I'm sorry, you're right. It was Witchblade.
The Witcher,
which is kind of a play on Switchblade. No. How genius.
Oh, weird. I actually never thought of that until you just said it. That's funny. But I had all of those, all the Mark Silvestri stuff. I loved everything from that era. Even the weird shit freaking Rob Liefeld was drawing. I was into it. I didn't care.
I learned so much about Liefeld this week. I did not know that he was the originator. He was the thought man. He was the idea man when it comes to Image Comics. We give him lots of shit because of that, you know, that Captain America with the chest.
A lot of his art was pretty bad, but he had a lot of great ideas. Dude, he invented Deadpool, one of the most popular characters in Marvel's history. He invented Cable, one of the coolest X-Men future-y story things ever. Like, he had an amazing idea. I just think he got lazy once in a while with the art side. I just think he was like,
I don't even know if he was lazy. It was a hard order to serve up. You got to do this. You got to do this extreme thing. And if you look, I've seen people actually break down real bodybuilders and how it would look if they were standing in that perspective. I think there's some Arnold Schwarzenegger comparisons to the Captain America. Mm. And if you really look at it, it's kind of how it looks. It's kind of how it looks from that angle. It's kind of true there, but as artists, we know it doesn't take much of a line going in just the smallest misdirection to make everything fall apart. It just makes it look weird, but it could be like 99% there and you send a line errant in one direction and it's the whole thing's toast.
Yeah.
So
I'll give you an example, though, of why I will not give him a pass on this. And here it is. Okay. Because it wasn't the only one. And he got put in charge of this art right here, which I will now share with you via Discord and show the chat on stream. That's also supposed to be Steve Rogers. And it's not good. It's pretty bad. I think that's...
I kind of like it.
No, don't get me wrong. There's a fun, hey, your stoner friend in high school drew this kind of quality to it. And I don't hate that. I just don't know
if
he's the right guy. I don't know. It's too, like, so, just look at his nose. What do we have there? What are we doing there? Right?
Like I said, everything was to the extreme. They were definitely doing very small noses, you know, very big shoulders. It was kind of the vibe during the 90s. This wasn't that far off from a lot of other indie comics that were out that time. It's kind of the style that's kind of going around, you know?
Part of the problem is you're doing this jump out with Image with people like Todd McFarlane, people like Jim Lee, people like Silvestri, Eric Larson. These guys know how to draw really well. Liefeld knew how to draw enough to get on the page. And you know what? He's loaded. He invented some amazing characters. Nothing wrong with, as far as I know, he's a nice guy. I don't know him.
Every interview I've seen him in, he seems amazing. I could be totally wrong. These guys could all be assholes. But all the interviews I saw, he seems like a great down. Every one of them from the Image Comics, the guys who founded Image Comics Publishing seemed great. By the way, that shield on that Captain America is ridiculously small. That's not going to cover anything. Maybe his tiny head, but nothing else. Maybe his crotch. That might be a crotch cover.
There's another bad one I just put in our Discord. That's also like that makes me want to go. Someone stretch me and give me some chiropractic work.
I actually like that one.
I hate it.
That shield is so funkadelic. The foreshortening is probably
wrong.
Fine, but then whoever inked it and then colored it made some bad choices because darker colors are supposed to recede and you've got the sparkle on the top of it. There were some mistakes made.
But really big mistakes made. You're not wrong about that. Like, okay.
Even though we're criticizing these pieces of artwork, this is still top 0.1% of artist in the world. Okay. I mean, it's still
sort of
way better than most people.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know if I'd go that far, but there's the Captain America.
But can you put it,
look at that thing. Yeah. There's no way your arm should be back there and your back be there when your chest is way out there and you're starting to build your bottom of your legs there. And the legs aren't even far enough to carry that back end. Where's, you know, this it leaves a lot to, there's a lot of problems there.
Chew.
Yeah.
But you know what? For all of this atrocious artwork, you know, it's not really atrocious. Well, I'm going to put the pedals on and I'm going to say, it's not that bad. I mean, they're comic books. You're not meant to sit and stare longingly into a single panel. Lots of times you're meant to move on with life, you know, and keep going. You know, it's about the story writing and the art, but you know, we've kind of put this on pause, right? That's bad.
Here's Jim Lee's version. Okay. I'll give you the link. Jim Lee knew how to draw, dude. And he had that same kind of edgy 90s business going on, but he knew how to freaking
get it. That's so much better.
It's so much better, dude. It's so much better. Like, I don't have ways to describe how much better it is.
Once again, we're comparing living legends to other living legends.
But he's a living legend for the wrong reason, I guess. I guess what I'm saying is I feel a little bad that he's mostly known for being a shitty artist because he's really good at so many other things. And
right.
He also poked fun at himself. This year, he did Sam, the Falcon guy, who's now Captain America.
Love it. Yes,
he did a new Captain America from the side of Falcon / you know, Sam.
Making fun of it.
Yeah, kind of making, poking fun at himself. You know what? I respect that. Well done. You went up a few notches in my book, dude.
I love it. I love it. Now, wait till you see the graphics in some of these games because this was also an uncomfortable time for video games as far as artwork went.
It was extremely uncomfortable. There's no question about that.
Very uncomfortable.
Let's get into it. So we're going to start with this.
Shall we play a game?
Spawn. We're going to start with Spawn. Do you guys remember?
I laughed my ass off when that loaded up because when I loaded up the Dreamcast, I got my Dreamcast out this week. I showed you earlier, but let me just for people who just showing up. There's my Dreamcast right there, Sega Dreamcast Japanese version, and I loaded up a burned copy of Spawn in the Demon's Hand, and I swear when that Spawn thing came on, dude. I was in.
Yeah.
I was back in the 90s instantly.
Well, let me describe this game. It is three-dimensional. They opted not to have his cape because they couldn't do it.
You can't render that. They could barely render it in the freaking movie we got.
Yeah, it wasn't even that good there either. They got a new one coming. Right. I'm excited about that. We've learned a lot since then, so we'll see how that looks. But Spawn, this game in particular is called Spawn in the Demon's Hand. It came out on Dreamcast and arcade. And you're right, year 2000, so not quite 90s, but this thing feels 90s as hell. I'll play a little music or song or sound from this. Here we go. He talks like this the whole thing. And that's kind of the vibe of it through the whole game.
It is 100% arcade first. It then Dreamcast second because it is just balls to the walls, brawler shooting, you know, a third person shooter where you're just you start out, you pick your character, kind of like from a menu, kind of similar to Mortal Kombat or something. You pick your little character there. It's like, I'm going to play a Spawn because I know he's got the chains, you know, they'll come off and everything. And each character you pick has different abilities. And it's all from the Spawn universe. And of course, I played Spawn almost the entire time.
Yeah.
Why would you have a Spawn?
Why would you play anyone else? They had the two cops, the skinny guy and the big fat guy. They had them. You can play them if you want. You can play Tiffany. You can play
the clown. You can play a whole bunch of unlockable characters. I think there's something like 20 or something. But it's just action packed. Spawn. You'll die, you respawn, you try to be the leader, you either play as teams or you play as boss fights. The boss fights were the most fun to me because I played single player boss fights. And you would have a bunch of, you just go straight in. There's no work your way to the boss fight. You just select it from the menu and you're in there and there's a bunch of the little peons come at you and you're trying to deal with them. And then it'll say on the screen, boss has appeared. And so then the next thing you know, there's a boss running around looking like Kingpin, swinging at you, you know, doing stuff. And so you're trying to take care of him.
You just named my number one problem with the game. It has so much UI and word crap all the time. It's too much. It's kind of the arcade part of it, right? This seems fitting in an arcade, but for a home thing, I don't need a giant graphic to pop up and say, release the button to reload every time I run out of bullets. There's just too much on screen, text-wise, UI-wise. It's a confluence of insanity. I wish it was a little cleaner.
It really is. It's that Dreamcast era graphics too. They're 3D, but everything is kind of hard to see. Kind of like the texture mapping is so muddled and muddy because it had to be. But it was the best we could get at the time. Yeah, and so
it was situated somewhere between place. Well, when it came out, it made PS1 and everything else look like garbage. But then the PlayStation 2, GameCube, and Xbox original came out, and they said, oh, really? And then this thing looked like shit. That's just how it worked.
They said, oh, really?
Yeah.
Let me help you some. Yeah. But it's really fast. The sad thing is, this game never really rated very high anywhere on anybody's critical list. But sadly, it's the best Spawn game out there.
Yeah.
Because it is so Spawn, so action-packed. It's just constant mayhem and death. You're constantly doing pickups so you can survive and get a little more weaponry because the bosses are typically way more powerful than you. And you're just trying to make it through, trying to get the high ground right here. It's a little
annoying that Spawn is just a gun guy in this, because this really could have been you could have skinned this any game. This could have been Commando 3D or, you know, anything, because he's just a guy shooting. Right?
Yeah,
he's
right. Like Spawn, the whoever's playing this, they're definitely leaning heavy now. This guy has several options. He has the gun, he has his fist, which actually lets you use the chains, which is how I kind of played it lots of times. Forget the gun. You can do some gun upgrades. Also, he's got some grenades there as well. But yeah, this guy's mostly playing it as a first person or third person type of a shooter. A boss has appeared. This is definitely, out of all the modes, this is the most fun. You can play up to four players with this. This would be somewhere between. It's so much fun and a nightmare to play with three other people.
Oh, yeah. I remember they had, I could be wrong on this, because my memory may be thinking of a different shooter, but I swear there was at a local arcade here a four machine setup where you could play head to head in this game, I think. And I don't remember.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Sure.
I didn't get a chance to really look at the arcade version of it. The arcade version is almost impossible to find. That's the Naomi system, I believe, which is the equivalent of the Dreamcast hardware.
Yeah.
And finding a working copy of that was next to impossible. But everything I read says this is almost a port perfect of the arcade for the Dreamcast. So
yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
It's okay.
A lot of fun.
It's all right.
You're right. But as far as I had a lot of fun. But you're right. It wasn't that much fun. Michael Foster did the vocals, I believe, here. I think he was trying to figure that out earlier. Mm. But I think that's who it was. Michael Foster was doing that.
Yeah, it's all right. It's not the worst game I've watched. I didn't play this because I didn't really have a decent way to play it. So I just watched a lot of video. I watched you stream some of it. That looked insane.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. You raided on me that night. I think I was playing playing that. And, man, you probably didn't get there earlier enough, but there is a song.
Oh, there's all of these today have a weird song.
All of these games had songs, and I believe there was even words to the songs in this game. But it's quite hilarious. Start, and by the way,
the intro, right? The intro has like
the intro. Todd McFarlane and all of these Image comic publishers and all the comics that were coming out of that system were. All the women were, all the men were super muscular, and all the women were well endowed.
Super hot.
This was no different. If you played any of the girl characters, you would be.
I mean, for the record, Marvel and DC were also pretty sexist in that regard in the 90s. It's just that these guys, this is top talent leaving Marvel in droves and doing the same
thing. What would Wanda think?
Yeah.
Spawn's out here with all these buxom ladies and Wanda's all in the grave, right?
Yeah, Wanda's like, where's my husband? Or who is my husband? And he says,
she got remarried. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he says Spawn.
That's right. She got remarried. I'm sorry. She was fine. So she just didn't.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. She got married and thought he was dead. That's the deal.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. That's right. First of all, I was thinking of Eraser with Schwarzenegger for some reason. I don't know. Something like that. I don't know.
I have the original somewhere in a box. I was going to pull him out and bring him here, but I couldn't find him. But I have something like the first 100 issues of Spawn, single issues.
Wow. That is impressive. I did go on a bit of a hunt because I was like, is Image Comics publishing? Is it still even around? Because I got out of comics
a while back. Spawn is still a thing.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
But I was having trouble getting a solid, real answer because it's like, I want to read the 1999 versions of Jim Lee's Wildcats because I never read that. And I know that Brian Ibbett, our good friend here on the network, is into that. And I was like, I want to read, but there's been a reboot recently. Mm-hmm. And so I couldn't find nothing. And I was like, well, how do I read it? And it's like, it's on Comixology. And so I try to hop into Comixology, and every time I tried to pick up the Wildcats I was looking for, I couldn't get it nowhere. Finally, after some really good Google searching and getting on Amazon in the right places, I was like, oh, there it is. Finally, finally, I got to read the first couple episodes of our first couple issues of that. And I don't remember much about Spawn. I had the first, I think I did like the first 10 or so of Spawn, and I read those. And so I knew a lot about Spawn at one point in time.
Yeah.
I know nothing about Spawn now.
Well, if they're up to issue 348. It's a continuing series. They have a bunch of offshoots as well. They have Old West Spawn or something that just got announced.
Oh yeah, that Old West Spawn looks good.
It looks real good. I'm trying to find it here. I can't find it, but they've done Medieval Spawn. They've done all these like offshoots and weird ideas and stuff. Not that different from what Marvel and DC do with stuff, but I'm just a huge fan. My favorite run was when McFarlane stopped drawing and only wrote the comic, and Greg Capullo came and took over art stuff. Yes. And I thought Capullo was this mind-blowing discovery in the business. He was so good, and he still is. Yes. He's amazing. Does a lot of Batman shit now.
And that's how Image Comics managed to stay around, because it was founded by some of the hottest artists in the biz. And then it was like, okay, but what happens when you guys move on? Will there more talent come in? Yes, that's how we got The Walking Dead and all this other great stuff.
It's a little different though, because those guys, when I can't think of his name, Walking Dead guy. Anyway,
he's a Walking Dead guy.
When he showed up, that was just when Blizzard was doing like independent publisher stuff. So that's kind of their role now. They aren't like a giant company full of artists and writers doing independent comics anymore. There still are some, but it's mostly a label that independent comic writers and creators, including big name ones that are usually contracted over at Marvel and DC and others, they get to come and do their own books there. They're 100% creator controlled and owned. Mm-hmm. And it's still a pretty unique thing in the business. Now, Oni Comics and DRW, what is it? Whatever it is. These other IDW? Smaller.
IDW?
Yeah, DDW? Mm-hmm. Whatever it is.
IDW?
IDW, that's what I meant. Thank you.
Yeah.
Dark Horse, everybody else. They kind of have versions of that, but the Image thing is still unique and still puts out some of the best stories, the best characters, the best new stuff.
Yeah, Robert Kirkman, he was one of the last ones. I think he was one of the last ones to get on the board. So it's just Image Comics. If it's still true, I don't know. I watched some documentaries on Image Comics, and if it still holds true, it is supposed to only own the Image logo and the name, and everything else is supposed to be just a brokering publisher deal where they just, are trying to put the power of the art into the artist's hands and give them the best possibility for making money. Because that was the lashback. They were so sick of DC and Marvel owning 75%+ of the market.
Yeah. They were pissed about this. Rightly so. They were mad. And boy, did they show them. They really did. They shook things up and changed the business. My favorite thing they did is the quality of the books were so high, like the printing, the color, process, the way these things were made, so much nicer than what was coming out of the big two at the time. They were skimping.
We were still doing newsprint stuff.
Yeah, some of it. Yeah,
Image first hit. So
yeah, Image comes around and goes, "Hey, what if all these were beautiful, glossy, deep color, rich looking?
What if every comic was like $5?"
Yeah, that's the other thing. Started paying more. In some ways, they upped the price, and maybe I don't love them for that.
But it was good because you know what? Those comic artists before then weren't really making the money they should have been. And but yeah, okay. So these guys are all in here. And they're doing fantastic. They're brokering deals with Hollywood. They're brokering deals with video game companies. And wow, they a lot of them, when I was watching these interviews, wanted to be movie makers. So here they finally got a chance to kind of, you know, put a camera, even though it was in a video game to their characters.
Yeah, they got what Marvel and DC thought they would only be the ones ever to do. And they got to do it.
Yeah. Yeah,
let's talk about Wildcats. Wildcats was Jim Lee's invention. That was his big carryover. So when he left, he was mostly known for X-Men work, other stuff, but his work on X-Men is pretty renowned. And his creator-owned thing was Wildcats, a fantastic series, still good. That one even got an animated series. There was talk of a movie that never happened. He basically made his own version of here's our super team and here's why they're cool. And on the Super Nintendo Entertainment System in 1995.
Yeah, so we're actually going back in time. We didn't list these chronologically. You may have noticed that we went with Spawn first because really it's the least interesting to really talk about that game.
That game,
the SNES 1995.
Yep, 95.
Pretty decent side scrolling beat 'em up.
It's all right. It's a little beat 'em up deal. Yeah, it's not bad. Here's some sound from that. I mean, it's exactly what you expect out of a SNES sounding game, and you run around and you punt. Let's see if we can get some punch sounds here. I mean, you might be tricked into thinking you're playing, you know, Final Fight or something.
I'm getting a real Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles kind of vibe, though. Oddly,
oh yeah, totally.
I can't ever see the hurry up character without thinking of Splinter. Telling you to go, mm-hmm. hurry. I just love it. And so, yeah, we've got our agent at home or whoever the agent. Okay, look, when I played this game, I had no idea what the hell is going on.
You didn't know about the premise of the comic or any of that stuff?
Dude, we listened to that commercial at the top of the show. This is the commercial we listened. This was what it was about. Mm. And dude, it is so convoluted. What are you doing, Jim Lee? What are you creating here? But anyway... Yeah, I didn't know what the hell was going on. I just knew I was having fun beating up guys and wearing my little super costume. And no other reason than that. That was all the reason. Oh, forklifts.
Forklifts, which you have to run into walls sometimes multiple times to break through those walls. That's pretty fun. I played this one this week. This was easy to emulate, so I got a chance to play it. It's a perfectly usable, capable side scroller beat 'em up of the era. There's nothing wrong with this game. It's fine.
And if you're a Wildcats fan, it's gonna be even better. But if you're not, they don't drown you in the story here, which is good because there is so much story. Because I think Demonites are supposed to be like alien demons, and that's what they came to Earth, and that's what our interpretation of is actually demons. And then there's like an angel race that is also aliens, and they're here to try to help kind of save humanity. Mm-hmm. And then for some reason we form a superhero team that fights the Demonites. But anyway, there's a bunch of stuff going on. One of the heroes or one of the people has received an orb in their orifice. I don't know what's going on. All I know is I want to know more because there's a lot of lore and it tries to explain the whole history of the world. And then it all culminates into this beat them up where you're just going, you know, from screen to screen.
Yeah. And there's stuff in the game that people will look at and go, all right, that's kind of equivalent to the Hulk. Like the guy on screen right now, I forget his name.
Big guy.
Griff.
Hey, big guy. That's what I called him. Hey, Maul? Big guy. Come here, big guy.
I think it's Maul. I believe that's right.
He looks like a Maul. He kind of has got like that. He's almost, if he just like a bigger like jaw, he could be like Max, the Max.
And he even has purple. He has a purple vest instead of purple pants. He's basically the Hulk.
He's the Hulk.
Yeah. And this is true kind of across the board. Grifter is the sharpshooter guy. I don't know. He's like Deadeye or not Deadeye.
Deadshot. Deadpool.
Bloodshot. Blood dead shoot shot. Whatever it is.
Dead shooter.
Spartan is kind of your Captain America type, you know, Superman-ish combination sort of thing. Different characters doing different things. Warblade is very much like, hey, we got a guy that's a little bit like Wolverine over here. He's got blades on his hands and everything. And there's differences, of course, but that's what they were trying to capture. Does the game capture that? Does the game convey the depth of the comics? No, it does not. The comic Thank books God. Are still worth reading. They're very pulpy in 90s, but I think they're a good time. And I didn't mention Brandon Choi. He is the writer for the most part.
Yeah, he's the co-creator.
Right.
Jim Lee gets all the credit, but he's impossible to have this without him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's
a fun game, though. I didn't hate this game. I had fun.
Yeah, you got your health pickups. You got your go's. You're playing as different agents of the Wildcats. If Brian Ibbo was here, he would tell me exactly what cats stand for, because it's an acronym.
All into that. Is he into the Wildcats?
Oh, you didn't hear him almost lose his crap on the other day when we were talking about it, and he started rattling off all the acronyms and stuff.
I had no idea. It stands for, by the way, Wildcat stands for wild, just wild, but cats part is the periods in it, and it stands for covert action teams.
That's it. Covert action teams, and it's spelt so weird. And I think I actually put an extra dot in there, because every time I tried to spell it, it was just impossible.
Yeah,
it was just,
it did really well. First few issues sold 1 million each, which was huge at the time.
Hell spawned.
It was the first the first series ran for 50 issues in addition to Lee, featuring comic work by creators Travis Clearest, Chris Claremont, James Robinson, and Alan Moore. He got his Alan Moore
got involved with the Image Comics there for a little bit.
We had a toy line. We had an animated show on CBS in 94. I mean, it was doing all right. It did okay, this thing.
Wildcats is a decent beat 'em up, but read the comic. Probably you don't really need to play the game, but if you're gonna play the game, why not? I think it was like $160 for one of these games. I mean, for the Wildcats for the SNES, that's pretty high for an SNES game. That's pretty high.
Yeah, it's pretty high. Pretty high.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find, who was Zealot? Was that a girl? Yeah, Lee.
I think was that the angel, right? That was the robot with the orb. That's what I was referring to.
She's Coda warrior, as she's described here. Former Magistrix of the Coda. Helped develop their virtues and practices. She's lived for 1,000 years and has had many relationships with both humans and aliens alike. Let's see. Yeah, she's some kind of weird alien lady. I don't remember most of this, even though I loved it at the time. I don't remember shit.
I don't either. That's sad, because I'm like, oh, I missed out on a whole thing. But there is a reboot. There's a new Wildcats series. I can't remember what it's called.
Is that out now?
This is a Play Retro video podcast, not the comics podcast, even though me and Scott both love comics.
Yeah, we love comics, but we're not like, I'm not going to be an expert on this one, I'm afraid.
No.
But there is something going on, eh? Oh, there was they had a Sega Genesis port plan, but it got canceled. That's a bummer.
Just about every one of these games, when you're reading the trivia, it'll be like, oh, we're going to do a port. And then they didn't, because Image Comics was amazing, especially during the 90s at making a splash. However, it wasn't uncommon for them to falter along the way and fall behind. And by the time they was actually able to get something with enough momentum behind it, it would never, the interest would be completely lost on it.
I'll be the first to admit that even though I was super into the rebellion of it and just the sort of throwing the bird at the other publishers, there was kind of a all frosting, no cake kind of vibe sometimes.
It's a bunch of artists who started and said, we could do this. We're the talent. We are all talented. You're right. But there's also business.
Yeah.
And just because you're an artist and you have a great product doesn't mean you're good at distribution and the management of all of
I just
things.
Think the depth wasn't totally there so job. Much. Even in the stories, the depth just didn't come out in those days. That's changed a lot. I think Spawn has withstood the test of time and done fine.
I think we learned a lot during the 90s, because right now, I've been thinking about this week. So this is the first time I've actually said these words out loud. So forgive it if it sounds immature or stupid. But it felt like during the 90s that we were exploring. We were just going, let's see how far we can go. Let's see how extreme we can go with anatomy. Let's see. What if we give artists, no blockades, let's just let them run crazy. Yep. And we found out that a lot of artists need you know, they need a little bit of pushback.
Yeah.
Because that keeps them honest with their work.
Yeah.
If you let them just go nuts, they will go nuts. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of need just a little bit of pushback sometimes. And it's not a good thing to like stifle creativity, but kind of corralling it a little bit and letting it focus where it should be. I think they've gotten better at that over the years.
I think so too. And now that they, you know, they're really just a publisher of indie comics from outside creators who get to own their comic. Yeah. It's a
remember
much broader
when they
thing.
Told, remember when they told John Kay that he could come back on Spike TV mm-hmm. and make Ren and Stimpy how he wanted to. Mm-hmm. And so he had them playing the pitcher and the catcher in bed.
That sucked.
Remember that?
I hated it.
And then everybody said, okay, maybe we need to.
Yeah. Maybe, no, he screwed up.
All power.
I blame John him. Kay. I blame him squarely for that because
yeah.
for whatever reason, he thought people wanted that. We did not want that.
No.
We wanted what you did before and more of it. What are you doing? You weirdo. Right. And then he turned out to be kind of a scuzz bucket, so whatever.
Yeah, yeah. But it was great. So, yeah, that's kind of where we're at here. So,
hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Speaking of which, we played Danger Girl.
Yeah, let's talk about Danger Girl. Danger Girl is all about the hot Bettys, and yes. That comic, I read a few of them. I didn't really collect it. It was okay. It was basically James Bond Girl Edition was the idea, super spy kind of stuff. And it sounded a lot like this.
Okay, Deuce, I'm in.
Ah, smashing. Do be careful, my dear. Donovan should have upped his security since your last visit.
You mean rebuilt his security.
Oh, gosh. The acting. This game was problematic for me. I didn't love this one. I found it to be, I don't even know what the word is, kind of up its own butt. This game.
Oh, okay. I can see.
It's
that.
Just so very like it's on the heels of the Tomb Raiders, and so they're trying to kind of capture some of that. There is a lot more sneaking around and trying to get into places and exploring than there is combat. And that may be, you know, everybody's jam or whatever, but I just found it plotting and kind of bleh, I didn't like it.
You are pretty much spot on. This is definitely so. We're almost just a little bit. This is the year 2000. We're getting this on the PlayStation, and it is not that far removed from third-person tank controls like we'd play on the, you know, the Tomb Raider stuff. It's a little bit better. It's not total tank, but it's still very slow. You're still driving or somewhat like a tank, and you get to play different characters too, by the way. Danger Girl is kind of like a 007 / Charlie's Angels kind of thing. We kind of heard our little Charlie there giving her the instructions.
Yeah, she has her own Charlie, basically. That's true.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. So anyway, you're not wrong. So the thing is, this game looks like something that you would like Tomb Raider, where you want to explore. There's no reward for exploring. I explored like a mofo because I kept thinking, oh, I got to sneak a little bit. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, I got to sneak a little bit. Sneaking is no good. The things that made Tomb Raider interesting, some of the things were like sneaking because you could, you know, you could avoid detection if you were to sneak, or you know, those things the player was rewarded for. If you sneak here, there's no reward. Yeah. you're just walking funny. As a matter of fact, it looks hilarious because when you tell her to sneak, when you tell the character to sneak, it almost looks like she's got a bad hip or something. She's almost holding her butt low or something. It's weird.
It's very weird. The animation's weird. It's plotting. It's kind of ugly, even for PS1 low standards of the time of the era. I just found it to be not good.
I found it. So I found it oddly. I found some of the glitching parts, actually some of the more fun parts right there. There she just jumped and grabbed a ledge and she's climbed up. Very Tomb Raider like in that way.
Very Tomb Raider.
You got a lot of pickups here. You're trying to, this first mission, I believe, you're trying to break into a mansion. So you're on a compound. You're got to get past all the different henchmen along the way. As you shoot them, you pick up ammo, you pick up health, you get some demos so you can blow some stuff up, get some gasoline, which is really cool. I was like, oh my God, am I playing Left 4 Dead 1? God, I love that game.
Yeah.
And so you get to kind of do that stuff, but you're not rewarded for exploring any. There's nothing hidden. There's nothing. Yeah. I looked behind every nook and cranny. There's some destructible items in the world. And I was like, oh, I can destroy these vases. Sweet. Not a single thing.
There's nothing in them. Yeah. They hadn't really. We were still getting our head around that kind of shit back then. We didn't know what collectibles should look like or where you should have hidden things. Although I would argue Doom and Doom 2 had already done this earlier, a decade earlier. Yeah. And they could have probably followed suit a little bit. But I don't know. This development just felt like it was painting by the numbers and.
It was paid by the numbers. It was late. You know, when the PlayStation came out in 95, the year is 2000. They've got the benefit of, you know, game engine that's fairly more mature. But they're really just trying to play on the sexuality of Danger Girl. The comic is okay. I flipped through a couple of the comics.
It's okay.
It's just not bad. If you're into that kind of spy, kind of agency, kind of. Mm-hmm. Vibe is fun. The art's good, really good. It's okay translation here in the PlayStation. I wasn't blown away, but I did find myself playing it a pretty good bit because there was a little bit of backtracking that kind of I enjoyed.
So Scott Campbell did the art for that, or I might be thinking of Gen 13. That might be what I'm thinking of.
J. Scott Campbell did the art for Danger. I'm not sure about Gen 13. Did he do Gen 13 too?
Sure he did Gen 13, but maybe I'm
he
got made, it backwards.
Yeah, he probably did. I'm sure about the Danger Girl. Not sure, but you say you're sure about that. So I think
he did both.
we're forming like the retro Voltron of knowledge.
Yeah, and he was known. Campbell was known for his sexy lady work. He was into that.
Yeah, yeah. The ladies are sexy, even in this game.
Sort of.
Well, they're sort of, but they're very. But it's kind of got like that Gex humor kind of. You know, when you first start, your character's out there, and she's like almost like a swamp area, and she's by moonlight, and she's silhouetting. All this cleavage, taking everything off, you get butt shots. It's definitely appealing to a very specific market. Yeah. And I didn't like the fact that I could pretty much pick off the bad guys because my shooting range was much better than theirs. But, you know, which you kind of saw a little bit in GoldenEye, but not to this degree. I felt like I was always at an advantage. As a matter of fact, my health would get down to just a sliver.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's from poor level design or game design, it got progressively harder because they left all of your health in the middle area of the progression. And then there was nothing at the end. And I was picking off henchmen the whole time. No henchmen challenged me until I tried to go into the mansion. And there was one, I don't know if he got stuck behind something, but I am just walking by and like, and he just shoots me right in the back. And I'm like, death, instant death.
Not cool.
I was so pissed. I was like, that's not cool, brah.
That's the most dangerous girl. That's what that is.
It was the most dangerous girl.
Listen to this. So they have some music in this that I thought was okay, though, for spy stuff. So I'll play a little bit of it.
Not bad.
Here you go. I mean, very GoldenEye, yeah. The stuff, especially in the background, going me, 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 or whatever. I mean, you can't beat GoldenEye soundtrack. That thing rocked, but
no. But I did get a lot of GoldenEye vibe, but not nearly as good. But it's okay. You know, it was, if you're into that comic, it's okay. It's not as good as Wildcats is good at being a side-scroller beat-em-up, but it's not a bad third-person action adventure game for the PlayStation. It's
not great, but it's not bad. Yeah. I don't think it's great. There's nothing about it where I'd go, oh, a classic in the rough. No.
No, environmental puzzles are okay. There's some times you got to switch over to your night scopes and that kind of stuff and your inventory list. You really feel the age of this game sometimes when you're having to go and it's like, oh, I got to plant a bomb on this thing. And you got to go in there and you got to go in through your inventory and go, oh, where's it at? Okay, there it is. And then you got to equip it and then put it on the thing and then blow yourself up. And you go, okay, I got to do something different. But anyway. Yeah. It's okay at that. One thing that I was, but it did have like a few sporadically placed quick time events, where it's like, oh, we got to press the X a whole bunch of time. We got to press circle. And I was like, they just put it like in two or three spots. It's just like, you know what we need to do here? Yeah, one of those quick time event things.
Yeah. Everyone loves those. Love a quick time event.
PlayStation 1 era?
No. Well, at that time though, they were new still. So I guess we could let
they were still new. Go. Yeah.
Yeah. Although I picked up on sale Detroit Become Human, which is a relatively recent game. PC version just happened in 2020 or something. But that game's awesome. But it's Quantic Dream, and their games are all basically one giant string quick time events. That's the entirety of their game lineup. Hard Rain.
It's everything. I think I like the detective work in that. I bought that game when it came out brand new. That was like one of the few games that I bought right out of that. I was like, oh, I need that. I need it.
It was cool. I think that game is cool. I just think that they've basically said, hey, quick time events, you hate them? Well, don't play this game because that's all we do. That's what we make.
There's a lot of exploration and, you gotta look at bodies and stuff and try to investigate.
Yeah, but every one of those things is like, instead of just press a button to check his pulse, you have to go weep, boop, and do like a little move.
You do. Yeah, you do have to. Yes, if you don't like quick time events, do not get Detroit Being Human.
Yeah, don't play that. It's a cool game, though. Scud, cool Disposable Assassin. I remember this one because somebody told me once that Dan Harmon wrote for this comic book for a while.
That's true.
And he did. Not all of it. To start with, it was Rob Schraub.
It's all about the Rob Schraub, baby.
Rob Schraub. This was his little baby at the time. And this was published from 94 to 98. And then again in 08, they kind of brought it back. But
and before people get mad and go, that's not Image Comics. When it came back, it was published by Image Comics. In the original run, when this would have been released, Rob Schraub was publishing this independently. But it did become Image Comics eventually.
For some reason, I thought Dark Horse had something to do with it, but maybe I've got that wrong.
It's possible. He may have signed some deals. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, Scud, which is also known as the Disposable Assassin. Is a little freelance mercenary dude that's basically a robot. And
he's a robot in a vending machine that you drop a coin on and then you give him a mission. And then when he performs the assassination, he explodes or dies.
Right. That's exactly right. The Saturn version of the game is what I saw this on. I only watched video. So there's two things going on here. I didn't read this comic and I did not play this game. But I did watch a bunch of it. Here's what it sounds like right here.
Five people before me were hired to kill Scud. Dick Smothers' neck was broken.
Dick Smothers.
His brother Tom was decapitated.
Tom Smothers. Anyway, you get the idea. It's a weird combo, though, because this game goes from like side-scrolling bullshit to, hey, we're going down a hall, and now we're going to play a light gun game, basically.
Not just basically, literally. I knew nothing about this game. I'd heard the name before. I think one of our listeners had said, you should play Scud, the Disposal Assassin. I'm like, all right, settle down. I played this game, fell instantly in love with it. This has been my most favorite retro game discovery I have had. I can't even tell you how long it's been. This game is balls to the wall, just fun as shit. It's a side scroller. And you can play it with the regular, controller. Mm-hmm. But then, if you want to, if you got two light guns, you can play it in light gun mode. Mm. And it's just nothing but light gun stuff. Like you had said, if you played the running gun thing, where it's, side-scrolling running gun, you'll get to points where you'll have light gun stuff, but you can use your controller pad to move the reticle around, and you can blow stuff up. But that music is so freaking unique and just blast my mind. And then the ideas, like Jeff here, which is the main baddie that they're that Scud is out to get. Scud's got to get to, this is all part of the comic. And they explain everything up front, but it's nearly as complicated as Wildcats.
Yeah.
Basically, Scud, the disposable assassin, has been assigned to kill Jeff, who has shown up and is causing some mayhem. And so if he kills him, he has to die. If he maims them and then keeps them alive on life support, he can continue on. Yeah. And he has a skill, so he can go on and kill other things. But he's also got to protect Jeff. It's an amazing amalgamation of all that is 90s and indie comics. This blew everything else away. I love the character models. Yeah.
It looked like it really had ideas. It was trying to do new things. Compared to everything else, it's pretty safe. Like the Spawn game, pretty safe little shooter. The Wildcats game is a very safe side-scrolling beat-em-up. This game is like, you know what? What if we do like three genres and they'll all work different. It'll be real weird. And you can even use a light gun if you have one. And you know, it's a very odd mix.
You can also play it. There's such a mix of how you can play this. You can play with a single light gun. You can play with two light guns. You can play with the controller and have a friend with a light gun. It is this amazing feat of gameplay. It's fun to play. You can just hop in and just play, or you can take a little more serious and just think of different ways to you know, lay it out. And
I also think it's the best looking of the entire batch that we've talked about today.
Oh god, it's freaking good looking.
Yeah, mostly because it's pre-rendered and you're not dealing with a bunch of polygon rips and stuff.
Abe's Odyssey, it kind of reminds me
of that's games. What that is, like that pre-rendered run, everything, I guess the enemies and everything are all pre-rendered. It's a little bit like, you know, Donkey Kong Country, but then taken to whatever the next level is at the time anyway. Yeah.
Sega Saturn.
It's cool, man. And I didn't know the Saturn had this game. I had a Saturn. I don't remember shit about this back then.
I knew nothing about this game. And I don't remember who told us and recommended it, but you are so right. It was a feast, and I freaking loved it. And you've already got one, Scott, but I've got the little Game Shark / memory, whatever, for my Sega Saturn.
Yeah.
And I want to see if I can get Scud, because buying it, it's almost ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
But I do want to get it running on the real hardware, and I want to get a light gun too. And I want to test this thing out because it is freaking, like I said, I was shocked. Usually it's like you had said, a lot of safe kind of bets, you know, get your IP into a nice, safe, shoot 'em up and be done with it. Yeah. Not this. No. This is a unique animal. Love it.
Got to give him credit. I think that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Even though no one's ever heard of Scud. Like, no one knows.
No it's one knows. Hell. And I find reviews for it.
Even the comic was so indie and so weird and so out there that I just, it didn't make a lot of noise. But I admire the chutzpah of this creator and of this game. And the fact that he even got greenlit to make a game is crazy.
Yeah,
crazy.
Yeah. And there was working on a movie. And like you said, Harmon came to Hollywood, which is kind of how Rob Schraub, he's been in Hollywood doing stuff too. This property got them all to Hollywood to do all the things.
Yeah, which is kind of cool. There is a game called Spawn Armageddon that came out for the PlayStation 2 in 2003. We want to at least give it a mention. It is a better game, I think.
I personally liked it. I just peeked in real quick. The reason why it's a mention is because we wanted to celebrate Spawn Armageddon approaching into the Play Retro era with this PlayStation 2-ness from 2003.
Yeah.
You're 20 years old. You did it. This was from the GameCube. But this, you know, little basic third person shooting,
just action, third person action game.
Yeah, I'm feeling like a Spider-Man action thing here with the chains and ripping stuff up. Is it fun? It's
all right. There's so much of Spawn that comes from other stuff. Like his cape is very Venom. His chains are very Spider-Man. His one thicker leg, although it's not as prominent in this game, but in the other game it was, that big thick boot gauntlet thing is very Hellboy. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of stuff where he just, you know, apes on other ideas and then kind of makes them part of Spawn. And it used to
this
bother
me. Of Devil May Cry. That's what I was thinking.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah. It's not, yeah. I don't think it's as snappy, but yeah, I think that's a fair comparison. I forget what an upgrade the PS2 was. It must look so much better than the one.
It doesn't, it though?
Still looks good now. You know?
Yeah.
This looks all right. I'd play this.
Yeah.
I didn't, but I would.
Yeah, welcome to the Play Retro era, Spawn Armageddon.
Yeah, welcome to...
You're just a baby here.
Our home. All right, well, there you go. A look at Image in the days that Image mattered, and also, well, when it really it made a splash, and when those video games were made. It's a fun look back, but now it's time to guess our game.
Spawn. Destroy it.
We're going to use that. We're keeping that Spawn sound forever.
Oh, we got to keep it. That is so freaking good. By the way, have you seen Hellboy Web of Weird? This thing that just dropped, this went back in October.
Maybe.
It's got the vibe.
It's not out. It just came out then, right?
Yeah, it just came out in October 18th, 2023. Yeah. Not getting great reviews, but it's that cell shaded, and it's just... It reminds me of all of these Image comics, which is probably perfect. Just mixed reviews is probably what it should get if it wants to be like these Spawn games. It needs to be, you know, people going, too weird.
I like that they really went for the style of, what's his name? Can't think of his name, the creator.
Mignola.
Yeah, Mike Mignola's art translates really well to the way they did it. But this review here says... Hellboy Web of Weird review. Hellboy makes clobbering demons look easy because it is. So apparently it's just too easy. It's just a rip
through. It's too easy. But if you want something, you want that modern vibe, there you go. That's something you can play modern. This just like the crap we played. But I would play Scud if I was to emulate anything. I would play some Scud.
They gave it a 6 out of 10 on IGN. So there's that.
Yeah, that's probably what it deserves.
Probably. I do love Hellboy, though, so bring it on.
Yeah, I do, too. I do, too. And is Hellboy really even considered? He's not really even slightly indie at this point. I mean,
well, now he may not. Well, right? I don't know. He's not DC. He's not Marvel. Does that make him indie? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Big enough that he made three major motion pictures. Third one was so bad, though. We should film sack that 2019 one.
Right.
But... the comics just hold up. The animation stuff that they put out was really good. There's just a lot to like about Hellboy.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to this. I'm going to play, we're going to both do this. We're going to play some old audio from an old video game, and each of us has to guess what we brought. We do tell you what platform and what year it came out. Any other questions come in the form of 3 questions. If you can't answer it after that, well, then you lose. Brian, I'm going to start with my clip. This is from the Saturn. Okay, the Sega Saturn.
Sega Saturn.
Yeah, not the Nintendo Saturn. All right, don't get confused.
Okay, yeah.
From 1997. So it's been a bit, 26 years or whatever that is. 26, 27, 26.
26, 27, 22.
Good Lord, that's insane. Anyway, here it is. See if you can figure it out. Enjoy.
Oh my God. Oh my God, did we just talk to Sonic?
Maybe. All right, what's your first guess or question?
Is this...
this seems like an easy one. Is this a Sonic game?
I kind of want to ask the obvious questions, but then I'm like, but that'll... it's pointless because I definitely know it's got Sonic in it, right? Oh, I love that music too.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, wait, let me ask this question. Okay, right, here we go. Okay. Saturn. Is this one from okay.
We have someone in the chat got it. We'll give them credit here at the end. But.
All right, right. Does this game also have any secondary Sonic characters playable?
Yes.
Almost all of them.
As far as I know, all of them. You can be Knuckles,
Knuckles. Okay.
Tails, all that stuff. Yeah.
Okay. What's the next question?
I don't know. Listen to this song again.
Because remember?
Yeah.
There's only one really Sonic game because the Sonic team had moved over to Nights in the Dreams. So
that's true.
You weren't seeing Sonic games very much. like week one.
I don't even think this was Sonic Team, other than they were the head studio. But
it wasn't at all. Exactly. Yeah. So there's only one I can think of. I'm trying to ask more questions, though. So it's not the Sonic Team. We got that. So that's the question. So Sonic Team, no.
Oh, that's your question? Okay. All right. Well, then no is the answer.
All right. No. And let's see.
You
can play
more.
As other different characters. Right. okay. So I saw this loose not too long ago. One of the wretched places. Anyway, do they play? Let's see. Is this side scrolling?
No.
So it's 3D then?
Yep, 3D.
All right. It's got to be Sonic Jam, right?
Let's find out. Is it Sonic Jam? It is not.
It's not Sonic Jam.
It's okay. Sonic R for racing.
Sonic R racing. Oh, daggummit.
Yep, that's
I forgot
game.
About Sonic R completely.
Shout out goes to Cherizi in the chat. You got Sonic R. Nice job. Well done.
Jesus, of course. Yep. Sonic R. I played that earlier this year, too.
Oh, did you? I remember it being kind of bad. It's not great, I think. I don't think it's that good. But whatever. Saturn 3D games were rough. They were all rough.
Yeah,
they're 2D stuff.
Well, I just got my Saturn late last year, so I've been kind of exploring through the years, trying to figure out exactly what it was. I didn't have any touch. I didn't have any friends that had a Saturn. I didn't have a Saturn and knew nothing about the Saturn.
Yeah.
At the time,
I loved that.
So
thing.
It's been a new exploration for
me. I enjoyed my Saturn. I loved the controller. I really liked. I don't know. I liked what they were putting down, but the rest of the industry did not, and so it kind of languished and died.
Yeah.
Let's move on to you, Brian. It's about 10 years early, 1988, 9 years earlier.
Ooh, 19. And guess what?
Mm.
We're in the arcade.
We're in the arcade.
We're in the arcade.
I love it in there. Awesome. All right. Let's see if we can figure this out. Let's make a little arcade from that era. Let's see. About here. So. Yeah, that's about the era. All right, let's play your clip and see if I can figure this out. Here we go. Oh my gosh, I don't know.
Isn't it sexy?
I was so young. What in the world am I hearing?
I will give you the hint, even though that's not a question. You're going through the menu system.
Okay.
Making choices.
Oh, why do I know this? Is it a... multiplayer
yes.
fighting game?
Well, yes, it can be. You can play one or multiple.
Okay, but it's fighting.
Yes, but don't focus too much on that. But yes, there is fighting involved.
It's definitely not Star Castle or something. Not Star Castle. What was the one where you fought Star Duel?
Star Dookie.
Second question. Is it science fiction based?
Yes.
Shit. Third question. Atari?
Oh, woo-hoo-hoo. Look at you. I think you may be onto it.
Because it sounds Atari.
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
no?
I'll give you, it was released by Atari. How about that?
Okay. Might have been using their hardware, though, right?
Yeah. Good ear, Scott.
Yeah, I have a thing for that. I don't know why. Arcade era is when my dad had arcade stuff. It was toward the end of it, but we had all that arcade stuff, and I just could hear, I could know a game company by hearing their soundboard.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah.
I don't know. Third question. Let's say, is it its own thing or based on an IP or something?
No, it's its own thing. It's okay. Its own thing.
I honestly don't know.
Toss out anything.
I can't think of anything. Shape Chaser.
Oh, Sheep Chaser. Is that what you said?
Shape. It's S-H-A-P.
Oh, Shape Chaser.
Yeah.
I like Sheep Chaser better, but Shape Chaser, not a bad guess, but unfortunately it's wrong.
Yeah, it's wrong. What is it? What is this?
It's Vindicators.
Oh, I knew that
Vindicators.
Game.
Oh, get in your tank, baby. One or two. Let's fight. Fight.
I had AI. You could fight each other. I remember Vindicators. Yes. It was an Atari machine, but I want to say dev'd by like maybe not Williams, but somebody like that.
Westwood. The people were involved was like Tengen did some ports, but Westwood, I think maybe did some stuff.
Westwood Studios, like Westwood, yeah, like the people that made.
Westwood Associates. Who are these guys?
Command and Conquer guys? It can't be them.
Yeah, well, they've been turned into Westwood Studios.
Really?
Yeah, same
oh, stuff. That's interesting. Yeah.
Westwood Associates.
Westwood Associates sounds like I need to go get law work done over there.
Right. That's what I was thinking too. And I was like, I thought it was Westwood Studios. It is.
Okay. All right. Well, there
Studios
you have it.
Is a subsidiary. Yeah.
I lose today. I lose. So did you. Double fart today. Double fart.
But you did some really good. We both did some really good guessing today.
Yeah.
Some
I feel like we did guessing. Some good detective work, but it wasn't resolved in the end. Can't win every case, everybody.
All right. Well, you tried all the QuickTime events and you just didn't nail it, man.
That's right.
Square, circle, triangle.
Yep. Push, start.
Fail.
Welcome to the treasure room.
Well, that sound means it's time to listen to a phone call. That's what we're doing today. We do emails, texts, all that kind of stuff. And you can send any of them and we'd be happy to read them, play them, whatever. The phone line is 801-471-0462 for both texts and voicemails. Or you can email us, playretroshow@gmail.com. Here is a call about Phantasmagoria. Wait, not Phantasmagoria. What was that game we played?
Well, Phantasmagoria, that's one of them. That's the game.
What's wrong with me? Oh, I'm thinking of Fangoria. Again, I keep doing that. I keep mixing them up.
Yeah. Phantasmagoria, though, that's the one we just did recently. That was
right, the point-click adventure, full-motion video thing.
Yeah.
I always mix up the name of the magazine with the name of that game. But anyway, here is a call from a Utah local about that.
Hey, Scott and Brian. I was just listening to the Phantasmagoria episode. This is... by the way, this is David, aka Hootie42. So hello.
Oh, buddy.
And anyway, the Phantasmagoria episode triggered like two really ancient memories from when I was a teenager. One is there was a trailer for Phantasmagoria on the King's Quest VI CD-ROM version that my 14-year-old brain thought that was just so amazing. And I don't know if you guys remember or talked about this one before. There was a fan magazine for Sierra, kind of like Nintendo Power, but only had like 5 subscribers, and I think I was one of them. And in that magazine, Canon Roberta Williams' son had a column that he would do, and I vividly remember one of his columns being about how he was helping with like cleaning up blood and stuff when they were shooting the full motion video scenes for Phantasmagoria. And how there were a couple of scenes that he was not allowed to be in the studio to watch them film. So anyway, just some fun, weird old Phantasmagoria trivia for you guys. Love the show. Have a good one. And Scott, let's do lunch. Ha ha. And if we ever do, I will bring my old CD wallet full of retro gaming CD-ROM goodness that you can look at. Anyway, have a good one, guys. We'll see you around. Bye.
Yeah, we keep pushing lunch off just because schedules never align. But yeah, we need to do that.
But a CD wallet, baby, zip that thing.
Yep.
There it is.
CD wallet.
There's all the stolen goods.
We all had them. Yeah, all the stolen goods are in your CD wallet. That's what mine was. Mine had StarCraft. Yeah. Mine had Warcraft and Diablo. It had, what else did I keep in there? All kinds of games.
Yeah.
There was a time there when
it was
when you could.
I didn't know anything about the Sierra magazine or I knew about the Sierra Club. I didn't know about the magazine. I thought it was all online bulletin board kind of stuff, but I didn't realize it was a magazine. That's kind of cool.
Isn't Sierra Club also like something else though?
There's also a Sierra Club thing. Yeah. Yeah. It's that's like another thing.
Nature.
The gaming magazine.
Yeah. Something like that. Well, anyway, thank you for that. Hootie42. We appreciate it.
Hootie.
Now here's the deal. We love getting your feedback, so keep sending that stuff. All right. That email again, playretroshow@gmail.com, the text number 801-471-0462. Here's the important bit. You guys help us stay alive here on the show by supporting us at patreon.com/playretro. Without that, we don't have a show. So please hop in there and do it if you haven't yet done it. And if you're already in there, we love you. People like Leonard, Adam Lefebvre, and Mbombo.
Five.
Well, there's no five. It's just no number. Oh. No number Mbombo. Okay. But he's in there. We love him. We love all three of you and everybody else who supports us. Please be like them and hop in there and get it done. No commercials ever. Pre-show content every week and other benefits you can only get by being a patron at patreon.com/playretro. So get in there and get that done. Our website is frogpants.com/playretro. Brian, is there anything else that you'd like to add to today's massive discussion about Emmett? Oh, we didn't talk about our next week. We're doing Crazy Climber. Woo!
Woot! Yes! Finally, we're getting to the Crazy Climber. After Scott has said so many things about Crazy Climber, I'm going to finally nail him down and make him tell me all about the Crazy Climber. Some guy is outside your apartment complex, and he's climbing up. What are you doing out there, you Crazy Climber?
Uh-huh. Yeah, listen. Crazy Climber, still to this day, some of my happiest memories tied to that game.
Yeah.
And I'm going to talk about him. We have one in the house.
Can't wait.
I won a Timex digital watch in a contest because I had the highest score in Crazy Climber. Like, I have so many fond feelings. And
for the longest time, that was your longest relationship, that watch, until you got married, right?
Kind of, yeah. Like that watch lasted longer than any girlfriend I had. You're gonna wanna check out that episode, you guys, for real. Because I got stories, I got funny things that happened. I got my grandma going, "What did he throw out of that window?" Questions.
Oh, wow, what did he throw? Why does everybody have windows that can open in a high rise? That's not even accurate.
It's a very unusual game that really threw us all for a loop here at the Johnson house, and we love.
And you know
game.
What? This came out before Donkey Kong. Did you know that? That's right. There was another guy climbing stuff to get to the top before Donkey Kong.
Yeah, take that, Jumpman, or soon to be Jump Mario. Man. Anyway, we'll talk all about that next week right here on the show. That's the arcade game, the classic Crazy Climber. That'll be us then. And until then, everybody go play some retro games.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see you then. Spawn.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Okay, Deuce, I'm in.
Spawn.
Jeez.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. Warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.